Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We like to call it a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it, football Ric Flair, woo! 5-1-2 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn, and we got a jam-packed one for you. Yes! Yes, we do have a starting quarterback, a QB1 on the 40 acres. We're going to break it down and discuss it. We also have some sound, some audio from Steve Sarkisian, head coach of Texas football, talking about them getting ready for the scrimmage this weekend, which will determine a lot of the starting spots for Texas football's opening game versus Louisiana Monroe. We'll get into it. We're getting excited, of course. We'll also get into college football power brokers discussing emancipating themselves from the NCAA, the inevitability of it. We've talked about it. We've discussed it. And Kevin Warren making a hell of a statement with HBO Real Sports. We will talk about that coming up at 3:30. He's going to change the game. Apparently, this guy wants to be a game changer. We'll discuss that coming up at 3:30. Coming up at 4:05, 6:05, we'll discuss the Cowboys and the Texans training camp news, notes, and nuggets. We'll get into that. And also, of course, the Horn Top 20 countdown continues. USC, I guess the Horns called them their shot. They're saying Lincoln Riley because Lincoln Riley whipped up on the Longhorns for so long. So many old biblical-style butt whippings that he put on the Longhorns that he's going to go to the Pac-12 and to USC, and he's going to have a lot of success. They're number 6 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. Before we do all of that, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network, originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream in the cheese. Pimpin' ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. Mike Hardball Harge, ladies and gentlemen.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Yeah.
My man is back in the house. The people have been wondering, is Rod okay? Listen, travel sucks.
It does, man.
And my man got to the test, and I'm glad that he is back. Everybody is excited, but let me tell you a little bit about him. Because he hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, but he's not a fan of white condiments, and that includes whipped cream, Cool Whip, and yes, we found out, cream gravy. But he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, and he's back in the seat. My man, Rob Babers.
Last but never least, let's not waste any time introducing the real MVP. He's an idealionaire. He's one of the hardworking members of the ARN family. He's got a hustle spirit, period. We don't know what he's paid, but we do know he's underpaid. Patrick Davis. What's going on, brother?
I'm good, man. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
The crew's back together.
That's right, man.
Ready to get it going. And
I know.
We got a starting quarterback.
We got a starting quarterback on the 40. It's national news. I was listening to some national, radio shows, sports radio shows across the country. And when it dropped, they hit it.
Yeah, they did.
It was breaking news for the national news shows around the sports radio shows around the country.
Yeah.
So, of course, it is huge news here that Quinn Ewers has been announced as the starting quarterback on the 40 acres. We'll break it down and talk about it. We also got some sound from Sark. Got some great topics to get into on the show. The Tom Brady discussion is actually pretty fascinating. If you guys can keep up with it.
Oh, my goodness.
So now the hiatus for Tom Brady even more clandestine and mysterious, and they're just saying, "Yeah, he'll be back after the week 2 preseason game." And there's a conspiracy theory.
Come on.
That is fantastic. About
I love it.
Oh, we're gonna get into it. It's a great one. It's a good one. And you know what? I'm inclined to get out on that grassy knoll a little bit with this conspiracy theory about why Tom Brady is out.
All right.
Oh, it's good, guys.
And we have not talked about this.
You
and
so
I have
good.
Not talked about this.
And you know what? The last conspiracy theory about Tom Brady turned out to be true. The last conspiracy theory was basically that Bill Belichick, the reason that he sent the anonymous text, a mistaken text, to Brian Flores that he thought was Brian Dabble, old man mix up there, turned out to it was the first linchpin, if you will. It was the first domino.
Yes.
In the Tom
fall over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the Tom Brady Miami Dolphins conspiracy theory that turned out to be true, that they actually were conspiring. Turned out they were to acquire Tom Brady. Turned out it was tampering against the CBA of the
Shocking.
NFL. And they had been doing it for they had been doing it for 2 years. They've been doing it going back to his time with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady was complicit, but as I've always told you, players cannot be guilty of tampering.
No, oh, that
by
amazing.
The definition of the rule, it's impossible for a player. Now, you could do it, but you would be going out of your way. That's why most of the time they just let players go.
Yeah, that Brian Flores, when he said, I was asked to meet a quarterback on a yacht.
There you go.
And that was when he was it. And that was the Tom Brady. When he said it, everyone's like, who could it have been? It was Tom.
It was Tom. Yep. It was Tom.
It's all so coming out.
There's another conspiracy. So that one turned out to be true. All right. Mm-hmm. And that conspiracy theory is about why Bill Belichick blew the whole thing up because he didn't want Tom Brady in his own damn division.
Smart move.
A Jackie Moon owner style slash quarterback whipping up on him and winning a Super Bowl, which honestly.
I ain't mad.
Who could deny it? It might happen because it's Tom freaking Brady. So we'll get into that. That's our first off the record at 4:45.
Okay.
Let's not bury the lead. Let's get right into it. I'll give you my airport airline travel experience later.
Yep.
We'll get to that later on.
We need it. The people have been asked.
We'll just get into that later on. I got bad air. You know what? But it ain't only me. All right? Turns out this is going to be something that it is going to be a shared misery by all Americans. And I'll talk about that and explain that coming up later. Let's get to it, gentlemen. It was announced earlier today. Howard, you sent it to us, but I guess they gave it to the members of the media.
Which was crazy to me that it went down like this anyway.
What new regime,
yep.
Right? New ways of releasing that type of information. This is not how usually we get this type of information on the 40 acres. But Steve Sarkisian said that he was close. He said he had an idea who the starting quarterback was going to be. Everybody thought it would be after the second scrimmage. That is not the case. Steve Sarkisian, which I think is a wise decision, he wants the QB1 to go into the second scrimmage, and he wants to see how they behave, what their behavior patterns are like as QB1 in the scrimmage, ones versus ones, that type of thing. I love the idea of it, but it has been announced, it's official, Harge, that Quinn Ewers is QB1. He is the starting quarterback at Texas. You predicted, you thought it would be Hudson Card.
And a lot of reports that came out last night stated that the rumor, word on the street, what they had been hearing. And again, a lot of guys have been connected to this program for a very, very long time. So anytime some information comes out, you got to take it for what it is because they built up their trust with their sources. You build up a relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if they're going to put that out there like that, they've got it in a good place, right? Not these guys are professional. These guys have been around for a long time. They're not just throwing it out there.
We are lucky as fans. I'm not just BSing about this because I do a lot of research. You guys know I do. We are really lucky as fans. We got like three or four really good organizations, entities, media platforms that cover Texas. It's a big brand, so it deserves that. But even more so than the big brands, I've studied the Notre Dames and the USCs and the Alabamas. Texas, actually, I think, has better coverage than a lot of those other brands. Trust me, because I'm doing research on them, too. But here's what I'll get to about the Quinn Ewers. And this is what I know. I tweet this out. Here's what I knew. Because I've said this. You guys have heard me say I'm pretty consistent on my view about quarterback competitions because I lived through one of the biggest and the most controversial in college football history. You know, and I was there with Chris Sims, who's one of my closest friends, and the major apparite competition controversy.
Yep.
Right? And I saw it all go down. And I've decided a quarterback competition is much like an election. Right? You got to win over the coaches in the locker room. That's your electoral college. Right? That group there. You got to
make it. That's the one that matters.
Yep. Now, the fans, we're just, hey, listen, we are basically the popular vote.
We're standing, we're standing in the line waiting to get in there.
It matters a little bit, right? It's a tail that wags a dog, but for the most part, you're the popular vote. And we've seen in elections, in two of the last 6 years, you can win the popular vote, lose the damn election.
Yep.
That's just the way it goes, okay? Because the true electoral college matters in actually deciding who's going to be leader of the free world, if you will. And the same thing when it comes to quarterback. It's all about the locker room, and it's all about the coaches there. And not just Coach Sark. Sark's monitoring all the coaches because A.J. Mill, he's the quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. He's around him a lot, all right? Brandon Marion's the new pass game coordinator, all right? So he's around those guys a lot. He's around the wide receivers who trust me, they have a really good connection with quarterbacks. Wide receivers, the only people they kiss up to are quarterbacks.
Yep.
They have a certain diva personality, and the only alpha that the wide receivers will answer to is quarterback. Remember I told you when B.J. Johnson came on campus? That he wouldn't sing the school song and all that kind of stuff for us? He wouldn't like do all.
No, he wasn't carrying no bags. No, he wasn't carrying doing none
he wasn't
of that.
Carrying pads. None of that stuff. He's like, I'm not doing that. All right. But if Sims or Applewhite told him, hey, man, I need you to be out here at this time doing this, he's like, oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, because it's about ball.
It's my quarterback.
Yep.
That's my quarterback.
Yep. Yep.
And remember what I told you earlier in the season, at least early in the offseason, about, and I made my prediction about Quinn Ewers being a starting quarterback. I said this when he first came on campus, and I got more and more clues that that was going to be confirmed because he won over the locker room. If you're going to win the election, which a quarterback competition is, you have to be seen. You can't. You have to be seen. Remember, I was like, I don't see us in card. Because players these days have social media. So they want you to know about their lives. They want to give you a little insight, a little portal into it.
Yep.
You didn't see any of the wide receivers tweeting pictures of Quinn Ewers. I mean, sorry, of Hudson Card. They're
with,
all of Quinn
not
Ewers.
Not even with him.
Not even with him. Not At hanging all. Out with him. Yeah. Not even yeah. catching passes from him. None. But Quinn Ewers, I tweeted out today, remember wide receiver Xavier Worthy from the jump? When he was recruiting Quinn Ewers, he changed his Twitter profile pic to Quinn Ewers.
Yep, he sure did.
Hudson Card was on campus. Did he care about Hudson Card's feelings?
No.
He's a smart guy. He knows, oh man, it's going to be a big topic of discussion. Should I disrespect who I think might be the starting quarterback? I ain't disrespecting him because he ain't the starting quarterback.
Okay.
That was when he was recruiting them back in 2021, guys. You don't do that to a teammate. Trust me, if you think he's going to be the guy throwing you the ball. Like I said, wide receivers, the only people they answer to are quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We know that. And also, remember when they were recruiting Jordan Addison? Remember the pictures that Xavier Worthy was throwing out there?
When they were
and
doing
the Quinn
Ewers
was out there?
Yeah, Quinn
Ewers. It was Brennan Marion in the pick, Xavier Worthy in the pick, Jordan Whittington in the pick, and Quinn Ewers in the background with Jordan Addison in a Longhorn jersey. I was like, what? He ain't won the job. Why doesn't Hudson Card get in that picture? He should be photobombing that damn picture. Like, hey, I am. Yeah, right. I know. I'm still right. here. Yeah. Don't forget about me.
Right.
None of that. Because it was Quinn Ewers' locker room already. Remember Q the Fool? Remember, I was like, I don't know who Q the Fool is. Sign with Roc Nation.
Yeah.
Hell, the truth is, the new commissioner of the Big 12 probably knows Q the Fool.
He probably does.
Very well. Better than we did.
Yeah.
And Quinn Ewers is in the locker room reciting Q the Fool lyrics, and then Xavier Worthy and guys lost their mind. Oh, you know Q the Fool? I don't know Q the Fool. They know Q the Fool. And my point was, I've been in that locker room. I've been there. And I told you then, I was like, guys, Hudson Card will be transferring in like a year and a half. He'll be in the transfer portal. That's the only thing that hasn't come true. I said Quinn Ewers will win the job. He's going to pretend like it's a quarterback competition, but this competition is done because it's an election. And the electoral votes will go towards who the coaches think won the job. Because when they sit down at that round table with Steve Sarkisian, they go, man, how the guys in your locker room, who are they talking about? Who the guys in your position room talking about? Yeah, talking about Quinn. They don't talk about Hudson Card like that.
And
we talk about Quinn.
And I can agree with you to a lot of what you said. I mean, it is what it is, and that's the way that it's all come down to. But again, the reports that have been coming out, the people that have
the
been talking about.
The reports are wrong, man. The reports are wrong.
No, I'm not talking about the reports that came out. I'm talking about the performance
about
at
that.
Practices. I'm talking
it
about
the matter of
performances.
He won that job long ago. That's why, if I'm telling you, you were worried about the performance at practice. They probably were even. All of those reports were true.
But he won that job
way before those practices, Harge. I'm telling you, because he won the locker room. So my point is, don't worry about that because he went with the guy with the higher upside and the guy who won the locker room. It is an election. Remember, Mack Brown told us this about Colt McCoy. Jevin Snead won the spring. Mack Brown is on record saying Jevin Snead won the spring. Won it. It was his. He won a job. He had higher upside, bigger arm. He said over the offseason, guess who snuck in like Donald Trump overtook that damn thing? Won the locker room, won the guys, won it all. It was Colt McCoy, baby. He was like, this is my team. And then he said also Colt McCoy beat him in the training camp. He said all the guys kept coming to him saying, it ain't Jevin Snead, coach. I know you say he won spring. Spring don't matter. Spring ball superstars exist, and they don't win games in the fall when it counts, when it's all on the line. This guy's won our respect. He's won the job. And then it was confirmed, and then it was over. So the only thing is about whether it was confirmed or not by Steve Sarkisian. But he's been saying for a while he knows who's won the job. He's been saying it for 2 months.
Yeah, he said it from the very beginning.
So he knows who won the job because he knows who won the locker room. You got to win over the locker room. Hard, you're a quarterback. They won't follow you. They won't let a guy sack you, leave you on the ground, and walk away from you.
Yeah.
You have to win the locker room. It's an election, and he won the locker room. And he whether he won the job on the field or not, we don't really know. That could change. Sark changed his mind last year.
That's what I was just about.
Like I said,
that
was my
point. That was my point. It was like, yeah, everybody's looking at this as this electoral college. But at the end of the day, these coaches' jobs are on the line. And if he goes out there and performs like he's been performing at these practices and these scrimmages, and I know we've had people talk about, well, the defense knows the routes and all this. They don't know everything about it, and he doesn't have to force every ball. Like I told you before, I believe in his arm. I think his arm talent is undeniable, but you can't keep going out there and making the same mistake over and over again. I heard today he turned the ball over almost every single time he threw it. And then the announcement comes out, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, it was almost simultaneous.
Like I told you, because that doesn't matter, Hirsch. No. What, you're not listening to me.
No.
He won that job. He won that job 3, 4, 5 months ago before all this started because he won the locker room, man. You got to listen to that.
I do. No, I hear that 100%.
I'm just telling you the real of what's happening. I'm not saying that I agree with it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Like I said, I'm just telling you, like I told you 3, 4 months ago, Quinn Ewers' job, Hudson Carter being transfer portal, probably by the mid-2022 mark. Yep. Okay? Whenever he can do it. I know they changed the rules and all that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you the real. Blackshirt numbers, what I tell you. Okay? I'm not saying I agree with it, because he could easily go out there and bomb miserably.
Yes.
It could be the worst possible decision that Sark has made. But I'm telling you, he won that job because Hudson... Dude, what's been the big complaint about Hudson Carter? What has been the biggest one? Even aside from his play, what's the biggest one?
Yeah, he's not that dude. He's not that alpha
right now. They're not going to follow you.
Yeah.
They won't. Why won't they follow? They won't follow you. I can't make them follow you. If you ain't got the it quiet, you ain't got it.
Yeah.
What's a great story, right? There is a Mac Brown always tells a story. DKR is on the field along with Willie Nelson.
Oh yeah.
All right. DKR, Willie Nelson, and George Strait.
I was gonna say one
and
more.
And George Strait, legends on the field. All right. They're there for a camp. They're there for a camp. All right. It's a football camp. A lot of coaches there, all that kind of stuff. And a coach comes up to the legendary DKR, high school football coach, and says, "Coach, I want to be like you." And he says, "How do I do it?" And DKR says, "Well, if you have it, all right, if you have it, then you know what? You don't have to worry about it, right? As long as you got that it quality, you're good." And the coach kind of looks at him bewildered and was like, "What you talking about, Coach? I don't really get that." And then
he walks off.
And DKR says, "See, I told you, hell, he ain't got it."
Yeah.
If you got it or you don't. I'm not saying, like, I'm just pointing it out. Guys, I'm not saying that there was a separation in the quarterback competition. Obviously, there was not.
Right.
He's been stating there's no separation. So why would he make this decision if there was no separation in the actual evaluation in the competition? Because the overwhelming factor was that he won the locker room. He's got coaches taking pictures with him, hanging out. Some of you guys don't like this opinion, and you're fine. You don't have to like this. I'm telling you from a guy on the inside that's keeping you real. The guys are following Quinn. They're not following Hudson. Period.
Yeah.
Coach can't control that. And somebody's like, "Well, it's the boosters and donors." That's probably part of it too. I'm not denying that either. I'll jump on the grassy knoll with you and say, "Hey, listen, if they paying more than $1 million for him, the top 10 boosters, some of those guys I know, BMD, shout out to y'all." They also don't want to see that investment sitting on the bench. They
right.
don't.
Yeah. And that was the conversation I had earlier
okay?
today with some of those same people. I understand that too. And that's why I sit here and I'm looking at it. And I say, to your point, 1,000% to your point, we understand that he has won the locker room. But if he goes out there and he turns the ball over in games, he's not looking sharp. Where is the conversation going to go then? It goes back to where we were before. Because this is the same thing that happened last year. I thought Casey Thompson should have been the starting quarterback, and then we ended up seeing that as it happened. But everybody wanted, "We need Hudson Carr. We need Hudson Carr." And everybody keeps going back to that Arkansas game. I don't think that's a fair game. I don't think that's a fair game to see it. But the one thing that you can take from that game was the fact of how he reacted on the sideline.
And the guys didn't follow him.
I got you. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're sitting on the sideline, but again, can he not grow from that? Can he not learn from that?
He can.
Can he not be that guy? But the point that you were making, and is a very valid point about the alpha part of it, you've got to be able to have all these people follow you. But that's something, too, that if I'm out there playing, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win. And if we're going to sit here, because I'll keep hearing everybody talk about, well, they're going to have to take their lumps if he's going to go out there and do that. That's not supposed to be part of the process. That's not supposed to be taking your lumps. Because if it's about taking your lumps, Hudson Card didn't get a chance to take his lumps last year. Everybody wanted him gone. Everybody was trying to figure out, why is he still out there? Then all of a sudden, Casey starts struggling because he had a broken hand.
That's true.
And everybody's like, well, Casey's not that good. He's playing with a broken hand, and nobody even knew he had a broken hand.
I agree with that.
He was gangster with it. He was still out there, and he still led the Big 12 in touchdown passes last year with a broken hand. So don't just tell me that, not you, but don't just, all these people that are so excited about this decision, they obviously hadn't been reading the reports of what was happening at practice, the turnovers, the always inconsistent, and agree. I agree with the fact, I'm not mad as much at the turnovers if he's trying to force a ball into place because he believes in his arm talent. I'm more upset with the constant turnovers because it's going to rear its ugly head. It's definitely, because you can't tell me that all those DBs and all those safeties over there are that good because we saw what happened last year. But again, they all got better. They've all had their opportunity to grow. They understand the cause. They understand what's going on. If they go out there and they play like ball hawks, where Coach Sark was talking about, well, I'm seeing these guys go after the ball and it's been a change on defense. We're tackling better. We're doing all these different things. Then I'll believe it. Then I'll believe it. But until then, if you're going to go out there and you're going to run him out there to say, this is our quarterback for the future and we got to deal with the lumps, people, you can't have it both ways. Because you're upset that we went 5-7 last year, but now you're going to be like, well, we're just going to let Quinn go out there and whatever happens, he's going to be throwing them bombs. We're going to have some great splash plays, but yet and still, we're going to have to deal with the interceptions. I don't think that's a good way to go about the business anyway.
No, but I mean, you know, people are going to be asking for Malik Murphy game 3 anyway, because that's just how people are.
Yeah.
So it's going to be that way. I think when you look at it, Hudson Card had every chance to go out there and not throw picks too. And if he didn't throw any picks in the scrimmage and he didn't throw any picks, then maybe this is a harder decision and maybe Sark has to go, man, I got to go against because I can't be throwing picks. But Hudson also threw them. The thing is, when Sark comes out in that interview that we talked about yesterday about having warts on the team and bad apples and having to keep the team on track, Rod's right. You have to have a locker room leader in there. And if you take the guy and first thing you do after having a season where you lost a lot of the team and you had a lot of team transfer and leave, you have to come out, and then you go, hey, I know you all want this one guy, but we're going with the other guy.
Exactly.
You can't start that year.
Then you lose the locker room as the coach.
Yeah.
You're going to lose half the locker room. If you don't go with the guy, the locker room is going. And I was like, it is the electoral college. You got to go with who the voters say, who is the guy. And the voters are saying that Quinn Ewers is the guy. And I'm sure, like you said, there are picks on both sides, and Hudson Card may have a slight advantage. But what have we said? Hudson Card shouldn't have a slight advantage. It should be a huge advantage.
Right.
It should be decisive.
I agree with
He's
that.
He's ahead of you. Right. That is a you. That's your problem. That's a you problem, Hudson Card. It shouldn't be this close. It shouldn't be. You've been in the system. You know the guys. You had time to actually have some type of continuity, some type of camaraderie, to rapport with the guys. You should have been the guy that is more of a friend of Xavier Worthy than Quinn Ewers. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the truth.
No, that's what
you should
that's
be hanging out
about.
With them more. Those are your guys. You allowed another guy to come into your locker room and take your locker room. That's your locker room. And the fact that you don't have that attitude means you're not the guy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, I'm just keeping it real. Just telling you. And I'm not saying it's going to work out.
Right.
I'm just telling you the way Sark has
the
to
perception.
Look at it as the head guy.
The perception.
If he picks a guy the locker room doesn't want, the locker room goes, man, this is a clown.
Yeah.
5-7. See, I told you, guy's a clown. He's like, yeah, I told you. Yeah, you're right, he's a clown. I didn't know. Trust me, though. He admits he lost that locker room last year. He admits it.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. It was kind of weird how the conversation went out, and it was like, wait, what? Why the conversation? Why have we not been privy to this conversation before?
Black shit, I must call it. When? What's the next time that Hudson Card hit the transfer portal? Because it's gone.
Yeah.
All right? And Malik Murphy, whoever will be the backup. We can't even forget about the Austin High kid because I forget his name.
Charles Wright.
Charles Wright.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. I got you.
He'll be in the transfer portal too. If he's smart. If he wants to stay here and just wants to get a degree, that's great. But I think he should go to transfer portal and go play. Because I think I've watched film on him. He can play.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, here's the whole thing for me. at this quarterback position. Me and Jeff Howell were talking about this before. There's been so many battles, and you were part of one of the most epic ones here at the University of Texas with the Sims Applewhite situation. Everybody always looks at this as a savior until it's not. Until it's not the savior. You have to be able to go out there and execute. And do I think an 18-year-old kid, for those that just text me on the Specs text line, absolutely I think an 18-year-old kid is going to go out there and make mistakes. But we have to understand, you can't go out there and make 4 and 5 mistakes of the same kind. This isn't high school. This is real. And everybody understands we went 5-7. University of Texas went 5-7. That should never, ever happen. So don't come in here in the next week or the next month and say, well, he's a young player. We got to let it go. No, because you're going to be just as upset as you were last year. And you're going to go
through it. So you're saying it's a bad decision?
I'm not excited about the decision. I told you that.
You disagree with the decision?
Yes, okay. I do disagree.
Well, make sure
with
you're
that.
On the record.
Yeah, I'm on the record.
I don't.
I'm on the
record.
I think
it's got to be. I think it was the only decision.
No, I'm not talking about.
I think it was the only decision he could make. Like I said, the way I'm breaking it down to you, there was no other decision.
Yes.
You would have gave it to the other guy. You lose the locker room, man. There
I
is no other decision for
I
a head coach.
I understand about the locker room, like, but if you don't win games, that's going to be even worse. I totally agree.
So you guarantee Hudson Carr going to win games?
No, but I'm just saying.
I think we saw Hudson Carr last year. Did he win games for you?
No, Casey did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my point is, you got a guy that hasn't won games that you saying you're going to put your money on, but, and a guy that has a higher upside who the locker room has decided is the guy. And if you go, if you're going to go against that, you know what I'm saying? As a coach, it's hard to do that.
And I think he's gotten a lot better because we've heard it from Sark's mouth. We've heard it from him.
It's called practice. And football and practice is very different when you're wearing that green jersey and they can't touch you and all they can go is run, go around you and sneeze on you and go, ooh.
Well,
and your offensive line will probably have 2 to 3 freshmen on it. Well, we'll have to grow, right? So there'll be growing pains. You got to understand, the woman you marry is not the hottest woman you ever dated. She was the one that was right for you. And it's the same thing about choosing a quarterback. It's like choosing a significant other. The one that's right for this offense is the guy that can operate off schedule because it won't be on schedule. And I think Sark understands that. And I think he understands that with Hudson Card out there, as much as he likes Hudson Card, that he has not really proven that when the game plan, all right, when the game plan is deconstructed, when the play breaks down, that he can go make a play. And I think he likes the fact that Quinn Ewers, and even some of the things that we've seen, the small little bits of sample data that we've seen, actually, Quinn Ewers does operate better off schedule than Hudson Card. Because Hudson Card is what? A robot. Be coachable. Don't be a robot.
So
and I don't know if he's worked
on
that enough.
That's what I'm saying.
But
we don't
none of us know that. Sark right. knows that.
Right.
So you're going to get Sark's opinion.
Well, I'm saying,
none of us know if he's gotten better at that. All we know is going off Sark's opinion.
But is this
That's
Sark's
it.
Opinion or is it somebody else's opinion that came and talked to him? So those are the things that we need to
we can break down.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So on the surface, from all of the reports that he said during this time, I truly don't believe it's been that close, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. So you because won it easily.
From the people that I've talked to that have seen it, he's been a lot better, and he's been smarter about it. Because when you're playing this position, you have to be smart. It don't matter how great your arm is. I heard somebody talking about this the other day. So we're going to go out here and go with the Brett Favre mindset where he's going to throw all these interceptions. This goes back to what Patrick was talking about Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan was one of the best pitchers in the game, never won a Cy Young because other people around him wasn't doing better. Yes, there is a ton of talent. We talk about game manager. Is he going to be able to hand the ball off to Bijan? Is he going to be able to get the ball out of it? Okay, maybe so. But there's so much more to your point of what the thought process is. I think Hudson Card got better, and I think he understood because you've talked about Bam Bam Sam and how his mindset happened. And then I also think that he saw what Casey Thompson did where he was like, you know, if this line ain't there, I got to tuck the ball and run because he is a great athlete. I just want to see what's going to happen now. Obviously, I want Texas to win. That's the bottom line. No matter who's the quarterback. I don't care who the quarterback is, really, as long as Texas is winning. But the problem is these fans, whom we deal with them every single day, they're going to sit there and say, oh, my God, I can't believe that he's throwing this many picks or he's going to be throwing this many touchdowns. There's one or the other. And then we just lost Isaiah Nayor. So there's going to be some adjustments there too, who he seemed to have a relationship with anyway. So we'll see.
I just think Hudson Card should have been no doubt
we
competition.
We talked about that from the back.
And apparently there was doubt.
We'll see.
It's like a jury, right? It's like, that's reasonable doubt.
Yep.
I'm not saying Hudson Card wasn't the guy, but it's reasonable doubt.
Yep.
When there's reasonable doubt, it's like, you know, why would I go with the guy who's already, and this is a Sark thing too, he's going to lose credibility with the court of public opinion if he goes with the guy last year that also had deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And then you go into the season with deer in the headlights. And then you got to make another quarterback move. And then they'll go, well, I thought he was a quarterback guru. He's not already making a quarterback change.
Yep.
I don't think he wanted to anticipate a quarterback change. I think he's going with Quinn Ewers and he's going to let Quinn Ewers be the guy. Like I said,
regardless,
I'm not saying it's going to work out.
Yep.
But why was it? Listen, if everything you're saying is true, like it is true that they was close and both throwing picks, whatever, and that Hudson Card had a bit more of a lead, why does it, all the clues seem the locker room is following Quinn Ewers? Because they're smart football guys. They don't want to go with the guy that's going to lose games. I can tell you that from being in a Applewhite, Sam's locker room. I'm not going with the guy that's going to lose games.
Well, you had great quarterbacks right there. You was going to win no matter what.
My point is, so why would the locker room try to support that guy?
Well, maybe because he wants to hang out with them. That's another part of it, too. Maybe that's something, too.
I can tell you right now, if that's what they're about, over winning games, then it doesn't matter, guys, because we're up Itch Creek anyway.
Yeah.
If that's how they're choosing their starting quarterback, QB1, because he's cool, man, and we like to hang out with him, and he's got a cool haircut. If that's what they're choosing, then, guys, it doesn't matter. Then they're already lost. Then we already might start looking for the next head coach. Right? But I'm going to go with the optimistic side that that's not the case.
No, that's what I'm definitely going with the optimistic side,
but
too.
But if that's the case, then doesn't matter. We might as well just keep drinking and have some fun.
We're going to definitely
keep drinking hot cat tequila and Bud Light because it doesn't matter. They're going to be 5-7 and 6-6 anyway.
Turn up.
All right. I know a lot of you guys on the Specs text line. Some of y'all couldn't handle that conversation. Some of y'all could. Some of y'all loved it. That's how Ball Don't Lie go.
That's how
it's
going to
be entertaining.
That's
you may not like it, but it will be entertaining. We'll talk about something that the Big Ten is promising that's going to change the face of college sports forever. Right here on Ball Don't Lie, I want to put on the horn.
Need right. Yeah, Esther LeVar. Don't be conception. Oh, need Ray.
Talking about the worst kept secret in Texas football, in my opinion, that Quinn Ewers is going to be the starting quarterback in Texas. I'm sorry, to me, it was never up for discussion. You guys know that's the way I felt. I was like, I don't even know why we're talking about this. I'm serious. Why do you think they brought him in? They brought him in because they want him to sit on the bench because they want quarterback depth. Now they brought him in to play. We're not talking about it. This is a new era of football. And by the way, yes, BMDs, they paid money.
Yes,
we don't know how much. We know there's a lot of money paid. We know from the Ohio State head coach that he made $1 million up there. We know that because he already said that's the price to pay for a 5-star quarterback.
Yes,
that's the reason. My reason was he won the locker room. But guys, this is the worst kept secret in Texas football for 4 or 5, however long it's been since Quinn Ewers came on camp. Literally the number one wide receiver, the second best player on the team, went on his Twitter profile and changed his Twitter profile pic to Quinn Ewers while Hudson Card was still on campus.
Yeah, it's all.
He's basically telling you, that's my quarterback. I don't know who you're going to choose, but this is the guy that I'm riding with.
Yep.
What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Jordan Wings is out there hanging out with him, but what are you supposed to do if you're the head coach? Nah, man, forget the locker room. They're idiots. They don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm choosing the guy I want. Okay, go ahead. But trust me, the locker room will let you know when they go out there with that half-ass effort. Like, oh, coach, no, you chose that guy. Until you put the guy we want out there, just so you know. I mean, we're not inspired. I'm just telling you how locker rooms work. They're just like the constituency, just like the like vote. Like I said, it's an electoral college. It's an election. Can you explain voting patterns?
They wait.
Can you explain why they work? Can you explain why Americans sometimes vote against their own self-interest? Can you explain that? No, because they like that guy. I like that guy. I like him. He's better than the other a-holes you gave me an option to vote for. Sorry. I like them. I like Donald Trump. I just like him. Sorry.
All right.
They'll be like, oh, man. Sorry, this is the way it is. And it's an election. You got to go with who gets the majority of the votes. And Queens getting the majority of the votes.
Like you said, it's an electoral college. And that's how it went down.
I know people are like, man, that's crazy. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it is crazy. I mean, sometimes you're like, I can't. That's wild. That was influences a coach's decision, because otherwise he's going to go off just practice evaluations and how they performed. He went off that last year and where'd it get him?
Yeah, no doubt.
And I said last year, you got to go with who's compatible with the offense. Casey Thompson was way more compatible because Casey Thompson understood that offensive line, not going to work. It's subpar. So when the play breaks down, get the hell out of the pocket, go get the first down.
And you said he learned from Sam Bam.
And Bam Bam Sam scrambled more than any other quarterback in college football the last 3 years. Why? You think because he wanted to? Look at him in the NFL. He can perform from a pocket if he needs to. No, it's because it was out of necessity. He had to get the hell out of Dodge, keep the play alive, so that we could keep our dreams alive of winning 10-plus games. Yeah. Sam was a saint.
Yeah.
He was sacrificing draft potential for that, man.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, that's the reality of it. And he taught that to Casey. He said, Casey, when you win this job, I know you're going to win it. He probably told him at the bowl game when he was balling out. I know you're balling out right now, but listen, when you win the job next year, get the hell out of Dodge. Don't trust that O-line. When that play breaks down, get the hell out of Dodge. Hudson Carr went, listen. Hudson Carr was like, I'm going to trust the pocket. I'm going to trust what coach said. I'm going to scramble to throw. And it's like, that's not how this O-line works. Scramble, get the hell out of Dodge, get the first down, and keep the play alive. And you know who's going to yell at you? Nobody. Coach Sark won't complain.
Yeah.
About a first down. No coach ever has. Even when they get the first downs with something outside the structure of the offense. And Hudson did not understand that last year. And I think still there are some times that maybe Sark looked at the offense like, I would love for Hudson Card to be a little less robotic. We do not know why he chose Hudson Card. We're just all throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Yeah.
But
well, here's the thing. Here's the bottom line for me when it all comes down to it. Texas, whoever's the starting quarterback, go out there and support them, because we know that it's always a separate type of situation, right? Everybody's like, they got their guy. They want to pull for their guy. Rod, I give you so much credit for the fact of what you say all the time. Do you want to play for Texas or do you want to play at Texas? And when this happens, you got to support whoever the quarterback is going to be. We know it's going to be Quinn Ewers. Everybody may not be happy about it, but that's your starting quarterback. So we all need to rally behind him and get in with it, regardless of how many picks he throws in practice, because practice is this, that. We heard about the Vince Young situation. We know about the James Brown situation. Some guys perform better when the lights are bright. And now he's going to get his opportunity. The only thing that we're going to have to worry about is the thing about Sark. He says, I am going to ride with my quarterback. I don't want to get into the flipping and the flopping. I don't want to bring a guy in and then take him out. You're going to need both of these quarterbacks at some point this year. We've seen it every single year. You can go back to the Sam Ehlinger and the Shane Buechele days. You can look at the Tyrone Swoops and whoever else was with Swoops. You had to play those other quarterbacks at some point.
Yeah.
Even go back to Chance Mock and Vince Young.
Very true.
There were so many opportunities that's going to happen. The main thing is Sark's job now is not necessarily the starting quarterback. He's got to keep the backup quarterback engaged, because there will be a time where that backup is going to have to do something. And that is going to be Sark's biggest challenge this year.
I totally agree with you. There's no doubt about it. You're going to need that backup guy, whoever he is.
Whoever he may be.
On Real Sports, I guess, which is expected to air this, but Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, says that, how about this, guys? He foresees the conference, the Big Ten, having 20 members and paying players. Done. He said that's his vision for the Big Ten.
That to me is shocking.
As we know, the Big Ten just signed their $7 to $8 billion deal. Their new TV deal is a 7-year deal. The contract could escalate with new members as high as $10 billion if the membership increases. The deal is a collaborative effort with Fox, CBS, NBC, and Peacock. Pretty cool, actually, NFL style deal. Action Network claims that the Big Ten is not done expanding, and they are targeting now Notre Dame, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, and Cal.
Because
they would like USC to have better, a more convenient travel for their games. So they want them to have more West Coast partners.
And they should. I mean, because think about it. How much traveling? Remember, we talked about this before. When you're traveling and there's only two teams in California and the rest of your teams are in the central time zone and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do games, that is a logistical nightmare.
It is.
Yes, it's possible to be done, but then you got to also look at travel, airfare, hotels, making sure that all the kids are, your travel advisors are with you, the student athlete. And then we talked about this, and I know a lot of people don't want to keep going to this, but you also got to think about the softball. You got to think about volleyball. You got to think about basketball and all the ancillary sports.
You got to think about equipment and
band and travel.
And,
yeah, those big those people that travel, they're leaving
on Wednesday for a game on Saturday that you're trying to get there in time to be able to for an 11 a.m. kickoff, which is 9 o'clock on the West Coast.
Yeah. I think the money right now is the only thing.
That's the only thing they see. That's right. That's right.
And they'll figure out those problems a little bit later.
They're like, we're going to fly y'all in on Thursday.
It's like when you get a great job offer. They're like, listen, we'll pay you like three times what you're making. You go, all right, I'll take the job and I'll worry about the other stuff later.
Yeah.
That's what's happening now because they're saying, gentlemen, that by 25 through 2030, they'll be making $100 million per school on annual payout, gentlemen. Done.
Yeah.
Well, they are the kings.
When you see Pac-12 and Kliavkov come out and say, Kliavkov goes, oh, well, I think the time is to talk about players getting compensated is about to start. And you go, Pac-12's like, oh, or the Big Ten's like, we're five steps ahead of you because we know about, we're getting recruits. And we know, if we have medical, if we have that, we have recruits.
Ding, ding, ding.
And, hey, do you know that mom who may not want to have their son play college football because he may want him to go to better, oh, they get medical now?
Yeah.
Oh, they get, oh yeah, my son can go there.
Great point.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, no, my kid will go there because they're taking care of their players.
You get mama. You get mom and dad then.
And then as soon as that happens, SEC matches it immediately because they have to. And then every other school that can't afford to do that, you're out. And that whole thing about them no longer being an NCAA, there's going to be the big leagues and there's going to be NCAA like it used to be with all the guys that couldn't make it to that next level. It'd be D1. And then what's above D1?
To Patrick's point, Pete Tham will report the College Football Playoff Board of Managers has discussed working under new guidelines and effectively breaking away from the NCAA. All 11 college presidents and chancellors who make up the board met Monday where they discussed the complicated process that would resemble what they say kind of a marathon effort of emancipating themselves from the NCAA. And remember in April, Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick, he said, absent a national standard, which I don't see coming, I think it's inevitable that they break. Well, we break away from the NCAA. He said mid-30s would be the logical time. So 2030s, like 2035.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about
this
right.
Is shocking nobody. It's like, yeah.
That's when you start to see 2030s is when the ACC contract goes up too, so you can pull some of them schools off. It's also, I'm sure, the NCAA and the basketball tournament and the Sweet 16 and all that is going to start going, and maybe they can negotiate that and get some other stuff and go, hey, we're going to step away and let's just bury the NCAA. Let's put a timeline on their life.
And the Pac-12. Pac-12 is done, it looks like. Big Ten is not targeting the Big 12. They're targeting the Pac-12.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the Big 12 is done. ACC's done. Every one of those schools is done that cannot afford to do what the Big Ten and the SEC will be able to afford.
Because you're right. Yes. Once the ACC's contract is done, it's going to be hard to keep them there, especially if Notre Dame decides they don't want a partnership either. That would be tough.
And if you start giving benefits and stuff to players, if you start giving them stuff like that, there is only two conferences who will be able to afford to do that.
Well,
I totally agree with you.
There was a story that came out that Notre Dame is sitting in line. Let me find it real quick. But Notre Dame is sitting in a position to where they are about to get paid a lot of money. Their potential new deal will have them at $60 million annually.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at what Notre Dame might possibly be, and I know that they've gotten tied into this because of the rights that are now being done, they may be one of the biggest winners of this by themselves, just being a solo act.
Yeah.
Being as the independent and staying with the NBC and Peacock.
Yeah.
But the problem is, how are people gonna find Peacock? We heard the other day that Dusty Baker couldn't even find it on the thing, so he watched the Bob Marley.
We actually have Peacock at our house because my wife loves Bravo, and Bravo's on
Peacock.
And she watches The Real Housewives and all the reality shows on Bravo.
Okay, so you're in the mix.
I watch wrestling, so I got Peacock.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
we got to get to the break. We'll have some flex on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Beautiful start to the show because like probably an hour before the show started, we did learn QB1, who the status of QB1 for Texas football, which will be Quinn Ewers. That is the big topic of discussion, obviously, but there's a lot of other things that we want to hit, including the Flex, FLXATX.com, FLXATX in the Twitterverse, also on the Gram. And I would know this, but on TikTok as well, we've been told by my man Cameron that is the case.
Because it's a flex.
Exactly. and also for my man Ty as well, who works hard. So we got a great team over at Flex. And I can't wait. Next week, start of high school football season, right?
Yeah, next Thursday, first games, they start kicking off. Arlington Martin and Lake Travis kick it off right here on 104.9 The Horn.
That's sexy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on ESPN,
yes,
too.
Yes, it
that's
will be time. On ESPN.
Bucky Godbolt going to be on that call.
Mark Honig.
Mark Harnick, that's going to be great. I mean, I'm really excited about that for Lake Travis. And I'm going to be trying to go to a game every week. Every Friday is my plan to go to a game. Usually, I'll probably be rotating between Chap Stadium, House Park, and was that Burger over there?
Yeah, and Burger.
That'll probably be my zone because I want to get to the game at a decent time.
Yeah.
We do get done. I think we're going to start our flex coverage early, so we'll be done a little bit early. But Austin traffic, as you guys know, is a nightmare. I don't have to explain that to you. Every now and then, I'll probably try to get to a game up north somewhere. Of course, a lot of prospects you want to watch, but I'll be giving you the game I'm going to every week, and I'll break it down, but also the prospects, the watch list. On our All Flex watch list, that is my primary objective when I go out there. So I'll be basing my calendar on the watch listers.
Yeah, I'm trying to put my calendar together too because I'm in the Pflugerville area, so I can make it to the Round Rock, Cedar Ridge, and the Hendrickson.
Yeah.
My cousin plays for Lake Travis, so I'm going to definitely try to make it out to Lake Travis games as well. So there's a lot on our watch list that we want to make sure that we see. We definitely want to go kick it with our boy Mark Henry to check out his son, too.
Yeah,
so we're making a plan to get out there, too.
What we'll try to do is maybe for you, I'll give you some, because you'll be watching watch listers as well. I'll give you a couple of names. Like, hey, man, watch this guy for me, too.
Yep, I got you. We'll share it out.
Yeah, if I'm getting some info. So if you guys have info on players, we'll try to give you our game earlier in the week so that you can kind of give us names to look out for, players that we should be watching, guys that didn't make the watch list, that should have made the watch list, that kind of stuff. So we'll try to make sure we do that early in the week to give you our exact calendar so you guys can be a part of that. Really excited about getting out to the games to watch the prospects. I want to give you guys we do thorough breakdowns on this show.
We do.
And Harge knows every damn body. He's coached every damn body too. So we'll try to give you as much detail on these guys and trying to, give them a lot of hype and give them some love before they make it big, because some of these guys deserve more hype. We know there's a ton of talent here in Central Texas, and I think more and more, hell, even Notre Dame is starting to figure it out too. More and more, this area, this region starts to grow. I think you'll get more and more big time college prospects in this area.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that. Go to FLXATX.com. My man Snoop has Round Rock Dragon Scrimmage Insider Nuggets there. On the site. Hell, you probably got some too. Actually.
Yeah, I got some of those. And then he also has the Austin High Maroons final offseason tune up. They had their scrimmage yesterday as well. So like Rod said, make sure you get over to flexatx.com. You can get all the information. And if you haven't already checked it out, make sure you check out the All Flex team watch list, because we put a lot of players out there. And just because you're not on that list or you see a kid that's not on that list, hit us up. Let us know. Get over there and hit them in the inbox in the DMs and say, hey, this is the kid that we need to go check out. So we'll definitely do that. It's all all about the flex, the volleyball, baseball, basketball, soccer. It's all being taken care of.
Yeah, no, Snoop and group, my man Snoop Snoop, J.J. Dunn, doing a great job over there, as well as Zach Lacerra. I heard him on with Trey earlier, too, talking about some great stuff, how they're excited about the season. Derek Cohen does a great job over them, over there with them as well. Of course, Cameron Nolan as well. So love that team that they have over there.
Yeah, they got a great
Flex
team.
All right, FLXATX.com. That's how you check it out. We'll come back, give you some insider nuggets, some news notes and nuggets about Cowboys training camp. Also, a little preseason primer with their matchup coming up versus the Chargers. Also, the Texans have a matchup coming up as well versus the Rams. Both of those teams on the West Coast. Boom. And our Horn Top 20 countdown continues, speaking of the West Coast, with USC at number 6 right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.